Shalom, Rabbi.
Today is Sunday afternoon. It's May 29th, 2011, and it's the last shiur for the year in the Makarot Halacha class or the Shabbat and Shivat class. Tomorrow will be the last shiur in the year for the Machshavah, Hashkafah, call it what you wish. And tomorrow night, Bezrat Hashem, I fly to Los Angeles where I'll already be giving a shiur on Wednesday morning in honor of Yom Yerushalayim. I'll be right in Beverly Hills and giving them the devils to come to Yerushalayim permanently. These are all people who visit and have homes here. I don't have to tell you, but we need their children and their grandchildren. But I want to do something. This is a unique moment, and I'm Modella Kaddish Baruch. My seventh book, but the hardest one I've ever written. And let me look at it for the first time. Okay, the pictures I just opened up, and I'm very moved. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam. Shehiyanu v'kiimanu v'higiyanu lazman hazeh. And 11 years of work, much harder than my previous books. I'll explain why. When you write scholarship, you're writing scholarship. It flows. You have sources. Yeah, you're not offending anybody. But in this book, I had to think so many times over, Dine Nefashot, not to offend anybody, what to write, what to leave out. In other words, every name I mention becomes a little bit a part of eternity. You leave out a name, they're forgotten forever. And I heard that from the Rav many years ago. The Rav gave a whole drasha. I think I have this story in my second volume, The American Rabbinate. But the Rav, who was a master storyteller, tells the story about this lady in Boston who would come to him every week in the 1930s. A poor lady, give him a quarter. She was paying for a plaque she wanted after she died. So one time the Rav said to her, my dear lady, you know, I'm not saying it in English, obviously. The Rav said it in Yiddish. My dear lady, why are you struggling so for a plaque? And she said, Rebbe, after I die, no one will remember me. My children are Americanized. They couldn't care about me. I speak Yiddish. They're English. They're this. They're that. But if I have a plaque in the shul, that means they'll remember me, and they'll mention me on Yiska. And the Rav said, every human being has that desire to be remembered after he's dead. And I can tell you, there's a woman I told that she's mentioned in the book in the context of a story I'm telling about Rabbi Dr. Bernard Landa. And it takes place in her home. And she got so excited. A lady, a very elegant lady, a very intelligent lady. Her nephew is one of the biggest Rosh Yeshiva in the world today. And she got all excited, jumping up and down. And she says to me, I'll be remembered long after I'm dead now. And she was serious. And I told her, you are saying exactly what Rav Soloveitchik said in that drasha. I want to show you one picture that's the story of our generation. And I modela Kaddish Baruch Hu. If I wouldn't have been a Rebbe, I would have been a photographer. This is Meneshamayim Zikuni. Come close, come see this picture. This picture, this is Fanya Fratkin from Leningrad. This is her. Her family was in refusal for about 14, 15 years. It's the only family that was always Shomer Shabbos. It's an old Chabad family. They were never Mechalel Shabbos. Went through World War II, suffered. And tourists came in when she was a little girl. She evidently just spoke up. And you see, she looks very sad. And this became a very famous Triple SJ poster. Fanya Fratkin isn't laughing, neither are Russia's other 2,999,999 Jews. Let my people go. Student struggle for Soviet Jewry. Okay? This is a picture I took in the absorption center in Jerusalem of a teenage Fanya Fradkin smiling and holding that poster. Is any comment necessary? Let me show you one more picture that I took. Let's see where it is. One more picture here. This picture, one picture is worth a million words. This is, I write about this in the text. This is Havdalah in Leningrad. And if you notice, they're using matches. Okay, this is Fanya's father. They're using matches. And on the table is a Havdalah candle from Israel. So I asked them, why aren't you, if you have a Havdalah candle, why aren't you using it? So they told me, well, this was smuggled in by a tourist. They can't replace it. So I said, well, if you can't replace it and you use matches, why put it on the table? And they told me, I quote, to lekasher et atzmeinu, to tie ourselves to Eretz Yisrael. And you just think about what that picture is saying. Okay? So I made a Shechiyanu, and I hope I haven't made it in vain. 11 years ago. Thank you.
Yeah. How do we sign up for the book? Where's downstairs?
Here's the
mail. I'll sign up for you.
Sign me up. One copy.
One copy. You have sons. You have a daughter. What do you mean, one copy? Do me a favor. Sign him up for three copies. Get him the special rate. Your wife is in there.
Where is she?
I told you, I write about her. Here, let's look at the index. Here, look at this. A guy who knows me 70 years, I have to look into the index now and prove to him I'm not fibbing him. One second.
50 years, not 70.
It's 60 years. Cut it out. 50 years. Don't play games, kids. Gosh, what? Don't play. Reuben.
55 years.
Judy. That's 371, 372. Reuben, Reb Yitzchak, 371.
Oh, I'm the troublemaker in the class.
Now you believe? Okay. Yeah. Let us. Okay. Do me a favor. Put him down for $3. If he doesn't pay up, I'll pay the difference. But this should let you. God, they're giving it away now, pre-publication, and you're arguing. Okay, gentlemen, I just want to respond to two emails and make myself crystal clear. This is extremely important. I mentioned in class, this is mine, I made a mistake. I talk about Kudya Goldstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. I called him a Talmud of Rav Maisha. So someone who knew him explained to me he was already a Yudapeisha. He was a Talmud of Rav Baruch Ber Leibowitz, Rav Elchanan Wasserman. He was very close to Rav Moshe and a neighbor. And the word among his students, who those who followed him, was that Rav Moshe would often speak with him about tshuva that he was writing. He was a wonderful human being and very beloved by his Talmudim. His son is a Rav in Beit Shemesh or Ramat Beit Shemesh. Henry Zuberman sent me this information. The second part is, I'm so upset about. I mentioned once in class, quickly in passing, that Art Scroll desecrated the memory of Rav Shlomo Yosef Zevin by changing something in Moedim B'Halacha. And I don't know if I, in their English translations, I don't know if I mentioned Hallel, but, you know, in, I thought he said something about Hallel Yom HaTzmut, they left it out of the English. So if you look into your modern Balakha, he never talks about Halo, never talks about Yom HaTzmut. Here's what they changed. In Moadim Bahalakha, Tuf Mem Bet, at the very end where he discusses the Arbat Yot, the four fast days, and he discusses Churban Ira Yehuda, whether you have to rip a kriya on them. Mistave, he ends off with these beautiful words, Shem Shichru Shalare Yehuda Mishilton Nachrim, Vahakamat Medinat Yisrael, Ashreinu Shazachino Lakach, Batel Din Hakriya Al Otan Ha'arim. And this is what they left out of the English translation. And it's a sin that there's no tshuva for. It's beyond words. And I remember when it happened, and I want to thank Yosef Casarola, who explained to David Pardo what I was referring to, because I didn't remember exactly. I remember the Machlokes and Beseder, and then Mark Shapiro wrote to me, Professor Mark Shapiro, this, you know, mentions this source, and these three words, Baruch Shezachinu Lekach, will remove by Art Scroll. When his grandson, the Baruch Zevin of Kaifu, was told about this by a friend, he was outraged. And I remember my neighbor, Rav Hutner, Ashrenu Shezachinu Lekach. I remember my neighbor, Rav Hutner, who was Rav Zevin's right-hand man, was furious. So I told him, Art Scroll said he changed his mind. I remember Rav Kutner was ready to be tied. He changed his mind. Okay. Now, Nachum Shmayaku, a young Chabad Chassid whose father's a Rosh Yeshiva in Morristown. And Morristown has a lot of feeling for me, because when Ari built the first Orthodox shul, Maplewood South Orange, Morristown was about 25 minutes away, and that was the leading school of Chabad for Rabbanim. So, his father's a big Talmud Chacham. I quoted his father, remember, about inviting someone to your Shabbos table who you know is going to drive. Remember, we spoke about it. So he showed me here with his father in Geirut, and he also he's corresponded with me on general studies. So I just want to make my position absolutely clear, and it's not open to Machlokes. There can be other positions. I hold this to be Dat. Let me use a terrible word. I hold this to be Dat Torah, Amitasho Torah. I'll come to Dat Torah next year. Relax, Yitz. I'm all set. I finished preparing that. Unbelievable what I have. But we'll get there. So I want to tell you, when it comes to Geirut, there's no concept of retroactive annulment of Geirut. Either the Geirut is good or it's not good. It is possible that you do a Geirut that's a farce. That Geirut is not good. Reb Moshe has a tshuva from Europe yet, where a guy converted. It was only to get married. It didn't mean anything. Rav Gorin, in his famous tshuva, the Langer case, tries to develop the thesis that the original conversion of the Langers, of Mrs. Langer's original husband, was not a real conversion. He remained a Christian. He had no belief. Fine. I'm the first one in the world to admit that these conversions are worthless. Once someone converts and he does some mitzvah, it's impossible to disqualify him. And this guy, I don't have time now to go, it goes against the, this is the Gemara in Yevamah. This is the Rambam in Hilchot Isuri Biyah. This is Reb Moshe, where your own father quotes the Tshuva, where he's Malamed Skud in the Rabbanim who are Megayer in America. This is Reb Chaim Moisa in the third volume of Achiezer. Gentlemen, this is a conversion. We have a problem. It's the Yisrael Muma. They're not totally observant, but a Jew they are. And this you, this is what hurts so much, that they came up with a new concept, retroactive annulment, like retroactive annulment of marriage. And this is lachatchila. I'm the biggest machmir in the world when it comes to conversion. But there's a lachatchila and there's a bidiyabed. And I have to tell you, this is a topic I discussed at length with the Rav. So when I discuss something with the Rav, I become a chassid. Pardon me, I lose my own judgment. And I spoke with Rebbe. We went through the sugya. I had halachal and maisa shailas one after another in the rabbinate. And this was the Rav's approach, filtering it down. So if you want lachatchila to make rules, I sign on number one. But b'diyevet to go and attack Rav Drukman. What the army does in conversion, read B'dam Levavi by Rabbi Yisrael Weiss. Tata look, Rabbi Yisrael Weiss was the chief rabbi of the IDF after Rav Gatnavon. Read what they do in conversion, how they assign everyone to a family, how a woman came to convert, Irina. I read about this in the paper, but when I read it now again in his memoirs, I cried, I was overwhelmed. A woman came to convert, raised in Russia, came here alone, a teenager, found out here she's not Jewish because her father is Jewish, her mother is not. And in the army she came and she converted, and with such pride, such feeling. And Brigadier General Yisrael Weiss said, "Pardon me, I want to salute you. This is a lowly sergeant, and he's a brigadier general." And he walked off the podium where the judges sit, and standing in front of her, saluted her. And she broke into tears. So how could you be motzilaz? We do the best we can. Do we succeed all the time? No, I was in the rabbinate, Jitz was in the rabbinate. Did we make everyone shem Shabbos? You can never believe the seeds you planted. I just got an email, I told you, from the first kid. I was bar mitzvah. I bar mitzvahed him in Maplewood, 1963. Just got an email from him. He's in his 60s today. A Ben Torah, a kid, a Goy Gomo, what did he know? Where did he know? When, what? They came to the Orthodox shul because we were cheaper than the big conservative temples and the big reform temple. Take a look, the seeds you planted. The kid got in touch with YU. He heard I'm alive and kicking. If they can let me know. And I couldn't believe my eyes. I said to Malta, take a look, seeds we planted. So that's with conversion. And no one in the world can convince me. You can say that 20 years later, retroactively, the person did, he observed Hanukkah, he did me comments on Pesach, he made Kiddush Leil Shabbat, etc., etc. Halavai, everyone should be a total Shomer Torah mitzvah. As far as secular study goes, there are two levels. When it comes to the core curriculum that has nothing to do with secular study, that's an open Gemara condition, an open Mishnah Harav, Hayav L'Lamed L'Bno Umanut. Without English, without computer, without math, you can't live in this world. My generation is being phased out because we don't know computers. Yeah, see? David Pardo, I hate to say it, he can type better. I remember stenographers in court, and I've appeared in court a number of times, can't type as well as David Pardo. In my days, if a man said he wants to take typing, they would have left him out of the room. Sissy would have gone and made fun of him. Kol hakavod to your generation. It's a different world. This is the core curriculum is breathing air. Then there's a different shaila. To be like Rav Soloveitchik, to be like one half of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, because I told you, the Lubavitcher Rebbe functioned on two levels. I saw that with my students who were Lubavitchers. The Rebbe functioned on two levels. I remember a student of mine asked her what she should do after Mechpalah, and the Rebbe wrote to her Beis Yaakov Kadima. She was as matima for Beis Yaakov as I'm matim to give a lecture in a Chinese torture chamber. So, what's the left? I know my place. I know where I... So the Rebbe, on one hand, the Rebbe told everyone, don't go to college. On the other hand, every professor walked into the Rebbe, walked out. The Rebbe knows more than me in mathematics, in science, in physics, in chemistry, in art, in music. The Rebbe, his broadness, so magnificent. No contradiction. I can't go into details now. This was the Rebbe's mother. Asked Rabbi Lichtenstein, he gave a hesped for the Rebbe's mother. He hit the nail on the head. She was the most pious, most learned woman alive. Tehillim, davening, learning. And she read Tolstoy. She read world literature. You can gain from it. All right, do we have to live in the great big world beyond the core curriculum? That's a machloket yeshana, that's the Ramah, and that's the famous tshuva that he wrote to the Mashal. And we'll deal with that next year, Monday, when I finish up Das Torah. I want to deal with secular endeavor. Okay, now I want to come here and set the stage for next year. There's no question, chilufei minhagim, there's no question a minig is very important. You just can't shut the minhag. I showed you that according to the Gainim, it may even have some d'oraita in it, that pas'av, that just the change of minig may be ke'en and isa d'oraita, lo tatsi gvul rishonim. We have gvulot, we have rules, we have regulations, and we just can't change. What do we mean by minhag? I'm sorry, refer you to the Gemara Pesachim. Can you do work on Erev Pesach? Can you travel far on Friday? Of course, the greatest minhag that hits you in the face, what do I do, Yom Tov Sheni? And there you have a classic example, and I don't have to tell you today it got involved in politics, but on a purely halachic, theoretical level, this is a fabulous question. What do you do, Yom Tov Sheni? Who am I? What am I? Where am I? And does this apply? Doesn't it apply? And you just can't chuck Yom Tov Sheni. All right, it's a minute. Throw it away. The conservative movement did that. I don't have to tell you. When I gave lectures on Yom Tov Sheni, I showed you that the Chatam Sofer was so machmir on Yom Tov Sheni in his drasha in reaction to the reform movement that threw away Yom Tov Sheni. The conservative movement threw it away, although they had four different opinions. If you're familiar with the response literature, a so-called response literature of the conservative movement of the Committee on Jewish Law, I think there were four different opinions. Chuck it. If it's difficult getting a minion, don't have to observe it. If you don't have one, don't make it an issue. And then there was one opinion that you must keep it. We're not in Eretz Yisrael yet. Okay, Baruch Hashem. And this is a minhag, and one has to approach a minhag with derech eretz. And this is what I showed you at the end of Ramah, that even a minhag that, believe me, I would love to get rid of. The banging for humming, I mean, the majority of Jews are not Yotzei Megillah reading. I see the way the kids prepare for the Megillah with guns and they bring in the drums and they bring in what do you call cymbals oh my gosh, what goes on when they read the Megillah? But Yotzei Dafman Yotzei Zayin, and believe me, as much as I would like to get rid of it, the Rama says, Ein levatel shum minhag, olil ogalav, ki lo lechinam chukba. And if you recall what I said to you, using Torah I heard from the Rav, and Torah I heard from Rava Miel, this is how we have survived this Jew. You just saw it last week. You saw the left, you saw Haaretz. Obama said, how did Netanyahu dare say a bad word? You saw Jerusalem Post? I will not buy Jerusalem Post. No. They have to balance opinions. Articles in there, trash of trash of trash of frightened little Jews with no self-respect. Oh, what Netanyahu did. And that picture of all his advisors, so many kippot around him, helping prepare the lecture. They ruined the state. They're destroying the Jews. A real Jew? Obama said? Big deal. Stamp on it. By Mishalayim. Are you crazy? 67 borders? Abba Eben was no hawk. And you remember Abba Eben's what? These are the borders of Auschwitz. This is the strength of a Jew. Rakefet, you are totally, completely, absolutely wrong. You follow me, Avi? You bang your foot on the ground when you hear hum. And you know how the Rav says, you know the Rav from the Bot. The Rav quoted Rav Amiel, the tire of what? I'm sorry, I'm breaking from Yiddish. I'm sorry, dearie, but you have to forgive me. I'm reliving, I'm giving my Rebbe. With this year, I hear my Rebbe. With the other year, I hear you 50 years from now. So, the Rav said a fabulous vort in the name of Rav Amiel that the secret of Jewish survival is bitul chametz. He says that this Jew gets there and he says, Levi Batel, offer the Ara, gone. If I saw it, didn't see it, it's worthless, it's nothing. That's the way we survived. We related to the Gentile world, we related to alien ideas, we related to assimilation. Batel, offer the Afra. Afra di Alma, we go in our path. Okay. Now, we come to Rav Kook, and I told you we have this foolish concept that every Mizrachiite is Mekil, and every Agudist is Machmir. Nothing can be further from the truth. When you deal with Halakha, you have to deal with each case as you understand it, as you can interpret the sources, as your emotional intellect feeling reacts. Rav Kook was the greatest machmir in the world in many halachic topics. from Geirut through Minha, I guess. We'll see in a minute. In Geirut, he was the biggest machmir of any posek in the 20th century. You should be aware of that. That the Svardim, the S-Ys, go against the halacha and don't accept any conversion. Right? You know what I'm talking about? It began in the 1930s. With a cherem, who was one of their biggest supporters? Rav Avram Yitzchak, a Kohen Cook. Do you know that the chief rabbi, I don't want to mention names, everyone knows Rabbi Katzin, the present chief rabbi's sister, married, I believe it's a sister, I don't believe it's a daughter. She married a non-Jew who converted, became a total Shemesh Shabbos, I'm told. The community excommunicated her. She cannot be part of the community. Ad kidei kach. Can you imagine? Ad kidei kach. And Rav Kook gave his gushpanka. I don't know. If someone asked me, halacha l'maisa, how can I say she can't be part of the community? Ruth Hamoavia, Goyim, Sadikim, they come tachet kantvei hashchina. What I told you about Arena a few minutes ago. And how can you say they can't be part of the community? But the SY say, we went out. We have 1% of assimilation compared to the J-dubs. J-dubs, right? Not exactly a complimentary term. Compared to the J-dubs, they have 10%, 20%, even among the Shomer Shabbos. We have 1%. And Rav Kook gave his okay. Now, a few words about Rav Kook's writings that I'm about to quote. I've learned in life from a lifetime of scholarship and reading and studying, I learned in life what the master writes himself is on the highest level. What is written from manuscript, what is edited, it never achieves the same level of the master. Reb Moshe Feinstein, his first 6 volumes, let's say, we know it's Reb Moshe. There's no question. Beginning with the 7th and 8th, and certainly the 8th volume where his grandchildren are writing it, you have a big problem. What did Reb Moshe write? What did the grandchildren put in? What is his? What was added? And this is a tremendous problem. And you can go on and on with these examples. Reb David Zvi Hoffman wrote on the Chumash, what he published on his lifetime is on a fabulous level. Vayikra Gevurim. What was published from manuscript long after his death does not equal what he published during his lifetime, because it was never finalized. The master's hand is missing. Rav Kook published very little during his lifetime. He wrote and wrote and wrote and wrote and kept notes and endless notes and manuscripts, and for generations, Mossad Rav Kook published more and more. You will find Shivat of Rav Kook on Dalet Chelkei Shulchan Aruch. Sometimes it's a finished product. He wrote the Shiva. Sometimes it's from notes. It's not all on a uniform level. What I'm going to quote now is a finished product. But you'll see when you go into his writings on the Dalet Chelkei Shulchan Aruch, you have to be forewarned that at times you're quoting, but you're not quoting from a finished product. Now, this Shaila is very interesting. It's from 1933. It's literally at the end of his life.
What's the name of the book?
I'm quoting here from Orach Mishpat. Tshuvat b'halacha b'hilchat shulchan aruch orachayim b'choshim mishpat b'eit harav rabat rabi yitzhak ha-kohen kuk. Orach Mishpat. It's on orachayim and choshim mishpat. He's writing this tshuva to the secretary of the chief rabbinate, Rav Shmuel Aaron Weber. And it's just reflects what's happening at that time. And what is happening, and we're all caught up in this today, 80 years later, it's part of the Israeli scene. We have here an unbelievable kibbutz galut. I need not tell you, if you go to the Kotel and you look around, you see Jews looking with every different look in the world, with every different clothes in the world. And you know, we have Kanayim Hara, Rov Minyanu Binyan of Am Yisrael Lasim. By the way, I want to tell you in parentheses, I've heard the biggest Rabbanim make this mistake. I don't want to mention names. I already heard two famous rabbis, names that you know, and they were all wrong. What am I talking about? No one wants to admit we have the majority of Jews living here. Why? Can anyone tell me why? No? What were you saying? So Yovel comes back, Shemitah becomes the Oraita, and all the Heterim disappear. Gentlemen, is that correct or not correct? Rov Yoshveha. How does the Rambam qualify it? It's based upon, of course, Chazal. You need Yud Beit Shvatim in Yud Beit locations, the original locations. So until we achieve that, until all the Africans and all the South Americans and all the Yud Beit Shvatim who little by little are coming back, we have nothing to worry about. And you not only need the Yud Beit Shvatim, Rov Yoshver Alecha, but you need them in their original location. So you don't have to worry, Baruch Hashem, the next Shemitah, unfortunately, I have a feeling, will still be able to raise the question of the Heter Mechira. But look what happens when you have a kibbutz galyot. Each one comes in with their own minhag. Each one comes in with their own pronunciation. Each one is so different. And then the pressure begins to change. Now, let me give you a little historic background. I know that one time Talmidim told me off. They said, Rebbe, you can't give a shiur without going into Jewish history, and you can't teach Jewish history without going into Chazal and Paiskim. I consider that a compliment. But to understand what's happening, you must know a drop of Jewish history. Look, the Hasidim. How many of you come from Hasidic stock? How many of you daven Nusach Sfad or Nusach Ari? How are you allowed to daven that? You're all Ashkenazim. Where do you come from? Where do you come from? Be honest. David, you cannot claim Ashkenazic descent because you have to follow your father. You eat beans on Pesach. It's Genug Dasman Kendrakin. He talks Yiddish to me and he eats beans and on Pesach. What are you going to do with him? David, you got to follow your father. So what happened here with the Baal Shem Tov? It was a rebellion. When you rebel, you have to change things. That's why they changed the Nusach HaTfilah, and that's one of the main reasons they're gone. Put them into Cheirim. This is rebellion. Have you ever been to communist China, communist Russia? Did you ever see the way they dressed and totally or total rebellion against the Western world? And I saw the communist women in Russia, no makeup. No makeup. It's like the women in Yehuda B'Shomran, the Gush Emunim women. No makeup. Rebellion. No, we came an Aliyah. The tremendous rebellion against the rabbis, against the old Yishuv, against the old lifestyle. We're all caught up in that rebellion. What do we speak? Sfaradit. What are we davening? No, Rabbi Lichtenstein still davens in Ashkenazis. I doubt if his grandchildren daven in Ashkenazis. I tried to retain Ashkenazis. My children laughed at me. So I met Rav Gorin at the Kotel. 1970 was a real experience. Friday night I come to the Kotel and I see endless soldiers and I hear them davening. I thought angels were davening. It turned out it was the Makhelav, the Rabbanit HaTzva'it. It was the choir of the chief rabbinate of the Ark. The choir that I later used to perform with. I used to give a shir, and they would follow with a performance of songs, you know, when we entertain soldiers, etc., etc. So, who gives us the right to daven in Havarat Sfaradit? And take a look at the pronunciations. We're Ashkenazim. Who has... Are the Ashkenazim right? I don't know. We might be more right than the Sfadim. We differentiate between Anoa, Ana. We differentiate between Ta, Sa, right or wrong. But then again, look at the Yemenites. If anyone has correct pronunciation, look at the Yemenites. Do we differentiate between an Aleph and an Ayin? we pronounce it exactly the same. Not a Yemenite. Oh no, they differentiate. They differentiate. Their pronunciation is more correct, better than anyone. But look at the Pandora's box I'm opening. You with me, Gilly? Watch, watch. I write about this in Washington to Washington. I trace down the person. I actually trace them down when every fact is correct. Nope. I got to get into MTA. At the last minute, the Shanghai crowd influenced me not to go to Bronx Science, not to become a medical doctor, but to go to MTA. They arrange a bechina with Rav Sachs, Rav Mendel Sachs. I'm all of 13 years old. There's the Chafetz Chaim's son-in-law with a long beard and rabbanisha clothes sitting at the head of the table. And there's a whole group of different guys. One guy wants to go to Rabbi Soloveitchik class. Each one has a different reason for a bechina. I want to get into the yeshiva. So Rav Mendel gets to me, Rotkopf, you know, from Solanta, from Rav Fishman, Rav Fishman, you know, fine, good. Read the Gemara, read the Gemara. And I sail through the Gemara, and then he says to me, Zog Abyssal Rasi. I blacked out. Say a little Rasi. I didn't know what he was talking about. And an older student, who I mentioned, Zahur Latov, saved my life, leaned over and whispered in my ear, and named Rashi. He wants you to say Rashi. Nu, could you imagine the way Rav Mendel Zach speaks? A guten Sabbath. Even Gilly knows how to say good Shabbos, right or wrong? A guten Sabbath. You've heard that? Gilly, it gedaven Sachris? You daven Sachris? Nu, so now I want to ask a serious question. You're davening and you're Rav Mendel Zachs. Sma Yisrael. Are you Yotzei? Not Yotzei. Sabbath. You're davening. A sin, a shin. Yotzei, not Yotzei. Now multiply that. Aaron Rakefet, born and raised in Russia 110, 20 years ago. My grandparents came from Russia to America. Ripani Shalom, Baruch Ata, who gives you the right to daven like this? Who are you? How did your Zeta pronounce it? How did your Elder Zeta pronounce it? How did your cousin Rabbi Dov Revel pronounce it? Nu, how do you daven Yitzchak? Baruch Ata or Baruch Ata?
The others I daven myself and daven
Yitzchak. You see that? He came at a later age than I did. I can't do that. I can't even speak. I can't even sign my name, Aaron Rothkopf. It's an amazing thing. I have to sign Aaron Rakefet. I have to sign Rothkopf. I have to think and think and think. I got to say that. Ephraim, what's your problem?
I'm trying to understand the story. Did he have a speech defect?
No. The Shibboleth, Shibboleth. It goes back to Yehoshua. Am I right? Or Shoftim? Where is it? Shoftim. They couldn't pronounce the shin. You follow? When the Litvaks, the Litvishi Yidden, it's in the Mishnah Berurah. If you learn Mishnah Berurah, you'll see what the Mishnah Berurah says. The Litvishi Yidden, until today, you'll meet our Litvishi Yid, a guten Sabbath, we feel men, a guten Sabbath. You follow? I don't want to be vulgar, but you with me, you understand? That's the way they spoke. The Hasidim, I'll tell you a joke, but it's a little off color, but I think you can handle it. The Hasidim who hated the Litvakim, you know, in battle what went on. So they used to say, to poke fun at the Litvakim, Sabbos noch Sachris am Zegefunin, the Samis and Sumit Asiksa. Did you get it? Shabbat, Leacha Shachrit. They found the Shamash in Shul with a Shiksa. You follow? So you follow? Sabbos nach Sachris, some say Gefrun the Sabbos and Sumit Asiksa. That's a famous anti-Litvisha Hasidic word. Gili, you got it? It pokes fun at them. But it shows you what they thought of the Litvakin, that who's the holiest man in the Kehillah? The Shamas. Where's the holiest place in the Kehillah? The Shul. And who do you find them with? A Shiksa. The Hasidim are shooting at the Litvakim because they, you know, they Hasidic world is a different world. It's a world you're protected from outside influence. Your dress, your deportment. It's very hard to go with a shiksa when you look like a Hasid. But when you look like Aaron Rakefet, or you look like Lahavdil Mei Elef Hadalit, the Kedusha Batara, the way the Rav looked in Berlin. No, he looked like everyone else. The Rav said to me in private conversation, what a difference between me, myself, and the Lubavitcher Rebbe. Said, in Berlin, no one knew who I was. Everyone knew who the Lubavitcher Rebbe was. You follow? So, but that, you, do you get it? Sabbis noch sakwis on yifun the samis and sumit asiksa. See how quickly you can say it. That Peter picked the piper with a what? What? How does it go? I can't even say it. Okay, Nachum.
My father called the Easter next week. He once said the guy with the sleepless was.
Right, and he meant shlicha. Right, you follow Rav Zaks asked him, what is shlicha? This is the way they pronounced it. I had Rebbeim who spoke like that. It was unbelievable. But this is a serious question. All right, gentlemen, I need not tell you, it's a whole sugya in bracha when it comes to Kriyat Shema. So there's a lachat chila and a b'diyevet. Lachat chila, it has to be safat tamad, the way the Gemara says it. B'diyevet yiyotzeh. But it's only a b'diyevet. Rav Kook writes a tshuva. This is tshuva tetzayim. Yud Zayin, should be Yud Zayin, writes a tshuva in 1933, and he writes a tshuva to the secretariat of the chief rabbinate in relation to this question, and he says, Bidiyavad, Bidiyavad, again, you said I pronounced it Litvish, Bidiyavad. How do you really pronounce it? Bidiyavad. Bidiyavad is already Sephardic, but modern Hebrew, they say b'diavad. So, b'diavad yoyotse. But l'chatchila, he is 100% opposed. And he says to Rav Weber that this is particularly so with the Teimanim. He says that when it comes to the Teimanim, listen to these words. There's nothing that compares to it. Shemidakdeit lechalek havei ben kol ota tunua b'diyuk nimratz. They are the most careful in pronunciation. Chalila l'misha hukzak bo lazov oto v'lachlifo b'mitar acher pachot meduyot mimenu b'chol devarim shebekedusha. And he is overwhelming here. They are the best pronunciation. And I can tell you a story. I mean, maskinish kachot. We hadn't been a kiva. It's a sad ending to the story, life. Life is sad. The Rebbe used to say, ultimately we all lose. There was a fellow in Akiva, Reese, Moshe Reese, a Bronx boy. And you fellas don't start to understand what it meant to be from, to go against the trend, to come to Torah. And Bnei Akiva was a big force. And Moshe Reese went in Aliyah at an early age. And his rebellion was, he davened Teimani. Do you remember Moshe Reese? Spoke Teimani. We used to, couldn't believe it. He could differentiate between an ah, and an ayin, and an aleph, and a guttural sound, and a chet. It was unbelievable. The end was sad. He was in, lived in Bnei Brak. This is a true story. We were living here in Israel already. And we heard on the news that the Leil Simchas Torah, someone got drunk, crashed into a window, and he died. In other words, the window fractured. God have mercy. Moshe Reese. The end was sad. It's many, many decades ago already. It's in the 70s. But he, his rebellion was an Ashkenazi kid from the Bronx became a total Teimani. And Rav Kook here goes crazy. He says, and it's more than that, it's more than just the pronunciation. It's more than just being Yotzei. This is the minhag. This is Al titosh torat imcha. Don't leave shal avicha v'yagetcha skeinecha v'yomru lach. He quotes the psukim. And he goes in how important the minhag is. You all know the Gemara in Bamei Madlikin in Shabbos, where the Gemara asks, how do we make a bracha on hadlakat meirat? No? Asher kibishanu v'mitzvotav v'tzivanu lahadlik ne shel chanukah. Where? Where's the tzivanu? How do you make a bracha? But the Gemara tells us this is mincha. This is the chachamim. They have the right. And here you have mincha. Here you have an edash lema, and here you have a tradition of hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands of years, chas v'chalila, that you should leave this minhag. And then you see the chumras here. I mean, could you imagine what Rav Kook is saying? But he recognizes, yeah, it's a delicate problem. The sands are shifting. The rebellion is on. The ingathering of the exiles has begun. And part of this concept, we're a new people, we're a new nation, we're in a new home, we're a new Jew, have to speak a new Hebrew. So he gives advice. He says, the Rabbanim have to know, yes, Hineni manchazek yidei osei mitzvah, vishtadel b'chol mamatzei koach ubudivrei chachamim binachat nishmayim, shelo ushanot et hamifta hamakubal b'chol makom. And in other words, what's the advice here? It's the old story, you know, with the Rav. The Rav told the story so many times. When you're young and the halacha is on your side and you're positive, you're right, so you go biyat hazakah. You can't win battles that way. Honey gets you a lot further than vinegar. And that's the famous story with the Rav. What story are we talking about? The Bichat Kohanim on Shabbos. The Rav used to, Rav Heschel writes up the story, Rav Shechter writes it up, that dummy Rakefit writes it up. You'll see it all over. But we heard it from the Rav many times when the Rav first came to Boston. So it can be checked on a calendar. What year? It was either 32, 33. It had to be 33. So one of the Chagim fell on Shabbos. And the Rav told them to duchen. And the Balabatan told the Rav, well, what's making duchen? It's a chilul Shabbos. You don't know? How can you duchen on Shabbos?
What was the origin of that?
The origin is that originally we should duchen every day. Why don't we duchen every day? The Sfadim duchen every day.
They're right.
So then, of course they're right. So then it was developed when Golis, in order to duchen, you have to be happy. So you're only happy on Yom Tov. But since you didn't duchen all the Shabbatot of the year, they took for granted that duchen is only Yom Tov, that somehow it's a Chilul Shabbos. You understand that you don't do this Avodah on Shabbos. And I remember in the Rabbinate in Newark, in Maplewood, outside of it, I had the same problem. When I tried, but I didn't fight them. I already knew from the Rav that I'm going to get nowhere by fighting them. But the Balabatan told me, what do you mean we should duchen? We didn't duchen in the Young Israel, we didn't duchen in the Brisker Shul, we didn't duchen in, you know, Newark was filled with shoes. And so I educated them that if you duchen on Yom Tov because you're happy, alacha kama v'kama, you're happy when Yom Tov falls on Shabbos. And Baruch Hashem, by the time I left Maplewood, they were duchening on Yom Tov Shabbos. What they're doing today is in the hands of Chabad, so I have no idea. It has to be checked. You got to remember, I left the shul 42 years ago. I went in Aliyah. I'm positive they don't remember my name. And I'm positive they'll look at the book and read all about Maplewood. They'll wonder, what's this man talking about Maplewood? Why does he know about Maplewood? You understand? I say that. So I'm Zayin Gezin. Yes, one at a time. Nothing.
When they spoke, in the text there, it says not to watch out.
not to Duchen? Open not to Duchen?
The version that's published in England.
I can't. Let me see the version published in America. I can't believe it. Oh, but in England, wow. Yes, that's right. The Vilna Gaon tried and it didn't work out. He took it as a sign, Min Hashamayim, that they're not maskim with him. But it's very hard to change a minhag. You understand? When a shul has a minhag and you're a young rabbi, they're laughing at you. And the Rav, you know what happened that year? The Rav started yelling. The Rav had a temper. I think that's well known. I once heard Rebbe talking in Moriah in the 50s, late 50s, and it's a recording. And the Rav says, yeah, you know, he's saying it in Yiddish. I'll say it. He says, you know, I had a temper. He said, I've worked hard to overcome it. And he said, but sometimes it still comes out. And I'm thinking to myself what the classroom was like in the 50s. Ribbono shel Olam, he could fly off the handle. And he says, I worked hard to correct it. But the Rav had a temper. He was a young man, Rav Chaim Zeinigel, a Gaon Adir. And he knew a lot more than all the Balabatim, and he forced them to Duchen, and after Shabbos the Balabatim met and told the Rav never to come back to the shul again. They tossed him out permanently. So then the Rav said, I mean, you know, like Rav Cook, he said, when I matured I realized that was not the way to go, and you can't fight with them, and you have to educate them, and you have to do it besaplanut and slowly. And that's exactly what Rav Cook is saying. But nevertheless, he continues with the Yemenites, Gili, he won't let up. Ubiyichud be'adat kodesh acheinu atemanim. And he says, there to change their minhag, ta'ashinu yetzlam chamur tvei, it's much more difficult because they have the right pronunciation. And for them to change, chas v'chalila. And then he ends off, which all of us ultimately have to say, he ends off beautifully. We should see the Kibbutz Galyat, and we should be zeicha to the Beit and Hagadol, Asher Yeshev, Belishka Kagazit, Beveit Kachenu, Vitifatenu, Sheyibonu, Benhera, Biyameinu. And they will tell us what to do, how to have one minhag. But until then, every community has to keep up their minhagim, just as the Gemara says in Beitza. Here he quotes the Gemara in Beitza, Yitzchak Tavtalan Amit Bet, Hizaru b'minhag avoteichem b'yudeichem. Hakatan Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen Kok. And why do I say the Beit Din HaGadol? That's the way I ended my drasha. I gave a talk in the hotel on Kidney up in Pesach. And it's a terrible issue here because I don't have to tell you. Kidney up are all over the place. And then there's non-Kidney up all over the place. And then there's Kidney up derivatives all over the place. And it's a real problem on Pesach. It's all the hotels go crazy. You see the advertisements will tell you, no kitniyot, but gebrachs, kitniyot, may kitniyot, each one gives you a different description. And it is a problem. We're all Jews, we're all observant Jews, we're all makpet kalaka chamura. And so I ended off that we'll have a beitin hagadol, halavai bekarov, sitting al har habayit, makam hakodesh, they will already tell us what to do with kitniyot. I still remember Rav Lewis. Again, a name you don't remember of Mendel Lewittis. He was in the first graduating class of Yeshiva College. Avi, you know when the first class graduated Yeshiva College? 1932. Class of 28, 32. He was a member of that class. You know who was the last one, I think, to die from that class? Joe Kamenetsky, Rabbi Da, who built Torah Masoli, was a member of that class.
Yeah, he may have been the rabbi. It was the Palmer Street Show where the world went.
In Boston. He was the rabbi there. That's where he started in the rabbinate. Then he was in Montreal. Then he came in Aliyah. He was a very well-known rabbi, a big author, a big Talmud Chacham. So I remember he once said to me, he lived in my building, we were good friends, and Reb Mendel said to me, the first thing the Sanhedrin will have to do is to be Matik Kitni Adam Pesach. He said to me, we can't go on with these differences. So, you know, many years have gone by and I still hear it on all sides. But that's the way Rav Kook ends off his Tshuva. Now, let me go one step further, and we're still in Rav Kook, and we're just going a little step further. Who became the second Sfada chief rabbi? We'll talk about the chief rabbi in the Monday class. I'll give you a little background on it. But when Rav Kook was elected chief rabbi, Rav Yaakov Meir was the Chacham Bashi. Anyone know, do you know Turkish? What does Chacham Bashi mean? Chacham Roshi. Bashi, that much you know in Turkish, that Bashi means Roshi, the head. So Rav Yaakov Meir became the first father chief rabbi. But he was on in years and didn't play a major role and died afterwards. And then the next Sfadik chief rabbi becomes one of the most famous of the Sfadik chief rabbanim, certainly for Rav Avadya Yosef, Rav Meir Chai Uziel. I need not tell you the Mishpatei Uziel, how many Sfarim he wrote. Now, Rav Meir Chai Uziel brought with him into the chief rabbinate two qualities. Number one, the Sfadik tradition of being Mekel. A Sfadik tradition of being Mekil. You all know his Psakim today. Rabbi Mark Angel, I believe, did his doctorate on Rav Meir Chai Uziel. And when it comes to Geirut, everyone quotes Rav Uziel. He wasn't afraid Lahakel. He wrote Endless Sperm. He was a tremendous Lamdan. He represented the Sfadik traditions. In addition, he was a tremendous Zionist, and he was caught up with what was happening in the nascent precursor to the State of Israel. And evidently, Rav Uziel publicized his feelings that everyone could daven Havaras Sfaradit. This is the language of the land today. This is the incoming of the exiles, and we can all switch to one Havara. This is the Tzav, I would use modern Hebrew, Tzav Hasha'ah. How would you translate that? The demand or the command of the moment. So Rav Kook writes to him, and this is in Orach Mishpat, in Tshuva Yudchet. He writes to him, I mean, first of all the titles he gives him, and he thanks him for sending him copies of his Tshuvat, and look what Rav Kook writes, Halavai, all the chief rabbis would have gotten along this well. Hashem meyoz nitagadnu yachad lavod, avodat hakodesh, shchem echad lamasa, am Hashem hayoshev alat mat hakodesh, Boy, I wish I could write Hebrew like that. Just beautiful. Rav Kook was a poet, mamish a poet. He wrote poetry, you know that. He was a poet. His abilities in writing Hebrew were second to none. And here he goes into the question. And he says, when you talk about changing the Miftah, there I feel it's not just changing Miftah. It's not just a halachic question of whether you're Yotzei or not Yotzei, but the whole question of Al Titosh Torah Imecha, Shala Vicha Viyagetcha, Skenecha Viyomrulach. And here, and evidently, Rav Uziel alluded to a tremendous Gemara, tremendous concept, and you'll see what Rav Kook has to say about it. But let me just tell you in advance. What I'm going to quote now will be many shayurim next year in the Sunday class. Next year, be'ezrat Hashem, when I finish Chilufei Minhagim, I'm going to go into some of the most basic questions of halakha and paskening. I mean, really on a high level, going beyond, you know you're a day of fine, now you're ready to go beyond that. Maybe great post in my, I don't know, if I wouldn't have been a Rebbe or Malamed, I either would have been a photographer or a Dayan or a Posek. I have a chush, I have to have a chush for Pesachim, Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem, you see in the book, I was able to pass on certain things that, Baruch Hashem. Okay. It's Yerushalmi. Minhag mevatel halakha. Do you hear what I just said? Minhag mevatel halakha. We're going to go into it in great detail. No? Michael Miller is sitting there saying, gee, that sounds familiar. I heard it in the conservative movement. Minhag mevatel halakha. And you have to know what that means. And we will spend a lot of time on it. And it is a halakhic concept. And you have to, many times in Psak Halacha, this is a major consideration. But Rabbi Uziel quoted it in the context that if the people are davening, Habarasma did, and this is the Minig HaMakom, then it's Mevatel Halacha. And we don't have to worry about tradition, Shalavicha V'yagetcha, Skenecha V'yom Rulach, Altitosh Taratimcha. We don't have to worry about all that. And Rav Kook takes him to task. He says, yes, it's true that minhag mevatel halacha, you're quoting Yerushalmi, it is correct, but nevertheless, what doesn't apply here? Minhag mevatel halacha, where that talks about Gedolei Yisrael had a certain derech in psak, and when there's a certain machloket, so the naguk, the minhag, the chazim, my amad deva, what the people are doing outside the Beis Medrash, the Gemara in Bracha, Tachmen Dalet Amid Bet, Memehemet Aleph, their minhag. But here he says, this is not a question of minhag. This is not a question of something that just happened. This is hundreds of years Jews have davened a certain way. And this type of way of davening, this is already a minhag vatikin. And here, you can't change it. And he quotes the Maharil. You can find it in Shulchan Aruch, you can find it in the Ramah. Orech Chaim, Tav Reish Yud Ted, Halacha Aleph. It's right at the end. It's Seder Leil Yom HaKippurim. And he quotes the Maharil, the Al Yishaner Adam Minhag Ka'ir, Afilu B'nigudim Opiyutim She'omrim Sham. And do you realize what you're touching upon here? This is dynamite. Avi, where did you stop on Friday night? I was at the Kotel too, but I have an early minion. My minion, by the time you got there, we were out already. We said, Lechuna Ranana, at 6:08 and a half. The compromise between the Kotel said 6:08, Eda Hari Bichad said 6:09. 6:08 and a half, Lechuna Ranana, Eitan Koran, our cousin, fabulous cousin. No, did you daven Kalbach? I heard in the corner Rav Heschel Schechter came for a bar mitzvah of twin grandsons, and they had their own minion, and they daven Kalbach. Mendel, are you allowed to daven Kalbach? Who heard Kalbach when I was growing up? Yitzchak, you heard Kalbach in Boston? The 40s? The 50s? What are you laughing? Of course we didn't hear Kalbach. How can you change? By the way, in Olu Rivka, the shul which I've davened in for 42 years, no singing whatsoever. Gaon's traditions. The Gaon didn't sing. The Ratten Chassidim came along and introduced singing. We don't allow it. Not in our shul.
No singing whatsoever. Help the boy play. What misnagdim? So there's no one davening in the shul. It's a result. It's one of the biggest shuls in Jerusalem, and it's a state later. It's empty. But this is a serious question. Kol nidre. No, someone comes along. He has kol nidre. Yes, sorry. No, you see the Maharil. I'm not paskening la halacha. Believe me. My wife doesn't go to shul Friday night if I'm, let's say we're in a hotel. But if I tell her they're going to daven Kalbach, she's sitting right in front, right next to the mechitza, davening like a Baruch Hashem. It's a thank you. No, my wife is a thank you. I can't say a bad word. Avi, absolutely. So she's so happy, Kalbach. But this is serious. What can you change? What can you? Rav Kook quotes the Maril and says if you can't change a niggin, Alacha kama v'kama, you can't change the pronunciation. Oh boy. And here he alludes to another problem. And you see, this is Rav Kook, caught between two worlds. Oh, what I'm about to say, if you understand me. Gili, you wanted to ask something?
Do we know when Ashkenazis originated?
I would say that there probably is plenty of research on it. People, Idelson, Bear, people who did work and Sitter. I can't say I'm an expert on it, so I don't want to even attempt to answer you. But you have to check it out. You know who may know because of his specialties in the field? Hagrach, Hagon Professor Reb Chaim Soloveitchik.
You mean the accent? Or
no, he means
the
pronunciation. And because Rav Gorin tried to prove to me that Rashi spoke Sfardit. He quoted or he showed me a Rashi where the only way you can understand it if Rashi spoke Sfardit. But it's an interesting question, but you have to go. One thing you learn in life, and I learned this in graduate school, and I'm very appreciative. Rabbis think they're experts in everything. You're only an expert in your field. Understand? My field. I know a little bit, you know, what I did my doctorate in, and learning, and psych, a little bit. But what you just asked me is an interesting question. It has to be checked out. There had to have been research. It may be in German, it may be in French, but there may be already in Hebrew, because at Hebrew U, Davidson taught at the seminary, taught here. These were 1930s, 40s, big people in this field of davening. There's someone who davens with me Shabbos, who's considered, I believe he's in Piyur, he's considered the biggest person in the world today. There was Goldschmidt, who I knew quite well, who used to daven, he's no longer alive, but he was the great German scholar who davened in Yad Tamar. He did the keynote, he did Slichot, you follow? So yeah, you have to check it out. Yes, Nachum. So that may be a good starting point. Adarabba, let me know what you come up with. Be very interesting. Anyway, Rav Kook hits upon something else here. And you see, I'll use his words, kifi ruach hazman. And you see, Rav Kook is from Voloshin. Rav Kook is from a Hasidic background. Rav Kook is from the old country. That Rav Kook was a visionary and his attitude towards Eretz Yisrael and the Chiloniyim and the Chalutzim, there's no question that he was able to bridge two totally different worlds. But nevertheless, how much of the Ruach HaZman can you let into your Yiddishkeit? Gentlemen, we struggle with this question until today. There is no black and white answer. Someone I know named Aaron Rakefet just gave many endless shayurim on reform, conservative. What are we allowing? Chovevei Torah, what is good? What can we accept? Shira Chadasha. Ruach HaZman. Ruach HaZman then was Sfardit, rebellion, Zionism. We're here. It's a new world. Is it a new world? Or is it an old world? Now that Ruach HaZman translates, there's no end to it. I don't see anyone here dressed the way their great-grandparents dressed. I have pictures of my great-grandparents. They all wore bekishes, long beards. I don't see it here. Who gives you the right to wear colored shirts? What about kippot? I'm wearing a crocheted kippah, colorful. Who gives me the right? My Elder Zayd, the war wore a different type of kippah. My Rebbe wore a different kippah. I wore a different kippah until I came in Aliyah. That is a serious question. Ruach Hazman. No? Friday night, the young Israels in America growing up, Hanukkah time. Adon, Adon, silent night. Holy night, all is well, all is bright. I don't have a good voice. Somebody, they used to sing, Adon Olam, right or wrong, the silent night. Everyone loved it. Are you allowed? I learned in Lakewood. We had a Baal Menachem, Chatzkel Rosenblatt. He lives in Two Gardens Hills. He has a shul, a shtibble, v'lai place, right off Main Street. Getzel, a great guy. He was the Baal Menachem. There was a minhag in Lakewood when the Rosh Yeshiva was there, when he stayed for Shabbos. So by Shalosh Shuras, they introduced a new tune for Shir HaMalot. And I'm an Eid Riyah, I'm an Eid Shmiyah. They started singing, on top of old smoky, all covered with snow. And they started, Shir HaMalot. Peshuv Hashem et Shiva Hatzion Hayinu Kechomim. And Rabbarin, who is that? Shane Nigin Nachamol. It's a nice Nigin. Do it again. And some of the guys were laughing, and they had to keep. I was a Namaritz then. I was a kid. Now I know it's a Shiva Habach. I can give a whole shir on it. But are you allowed? Ruach Hazman. If it's not in the church, Nigun, you're allowed. They asked them that. Jews picked up Nigunim. Where did they pick up all the Nigunim? They walked past bars. The Goyim were drunk. And when they're drunk, you start singing. And they picked up the Nigun. And the next thing you know, the Chazan introduced it in the Beit Knesset. No, this is an interesting question. An interesting question. What's your first name?
Sarah.
Sarah? How did you walk the chuppah a few months ago? Did you walk the chuppah to this song? Is this the little boy I carry? Is this the little girl at play? I don't remember growing older when everybody did that. No, I want to ask you, can you walk the chuppah to that song? You ask me? That song has Kedusha. It's Kohelet. Kohelet comes to life. Yes, do you agree with me? There is such depth to that. Okay? And I have, my heart goes out to Fiddler on the Roof. Now, who can tell me why? I've told you over the decades why. I know I taught students whose parents became Balei Tshuva because of the song tradition. And to me, there's nothing more important than a Shomer Shabbos Jew. Okay? So that's an interesting question. Where do you draw the line? I don't have a black and white answer. Al zeh ne'emar aseh lecha rav. I'm a Talmud of the Rav. Baruch Hashem. We were talking before class. I don't know how many people are alive that can say, I knew the Rav's mother. And I knew all five Soloveitchik children. All five. 5 out of 5. And I knew them well. Particularly the 3 men. Look, that's my Rebbe. The Rav's mother's my Rebbe. But I can't give a black and white answer. But Rav Kook here, what he touches upon, oh my gosh. Kefi Ruach Hazman. What do we accept? Where do we draw the line? He was worried stiff that this Svadic pronunciation is part of the Ruach HaZman. And for someone who grew up in the shtetl, in a Hasidic environment, and learned in Volozhin, and learned at the feet of the Netziv of Volozhin, he was the Talmud Mufak of the Netziv, you know that. He couldn't handle it. He's giving Rabbi Ziel Musa. Not only that, let me go one step further. You know, we talk about Torah Shebaal Peh. I don't know if you've ever taken a formal course. What is Torah Shebaal Peh? It's an interesting question. Have any of you, you're getting smicha, you're learning your Yoredeya, you finished your Yoredeya. Has anyone ever really studied the Hakdamat HaRambam to Seder's Rhyme? The Hakdamat HaRambam to Mishnah Torah. The first perek or two in Hilchot Mamrim. Well, the Rambam raises the question, what is Torah Shebaal Peh? So of course, Torah Shebaal Peh, you know, right away, Halacha L'moshe Nisinai. You know, right away, Hamidat Shatorah Nidreshet Behem, what we called, the Rambam calls, Dinim Chudashim. But in the same breath, he talks about Minhagim, the Takanot. And he absolutely puts it on the same level with the Oraita. Doesn't mean a minigur or takanaz, the Oraita, it's the Rabbanan, of course. But the Rambam gives it the same credence. And Rav Kook quotes that. He says, how can we throw away minhagim? How can we throw away concepts that the Rambam considers equal to Gufei HaTorah? And I'll give you a simple example. You want a simple example? Well, what's one of the most powerful moments of the week, particularly for ladies? Hadlakat Neirat Shabbat. I remember we were in a hotel for a bar mitzvah, and my wife, and I don't know if I had three daughters, I think I had only two daughters at the time. And I remember my wife lighting Shabbos candles, and the two little girls lighting little candles. And an elderly Jew saw that and he started to cry. He was overwhelmed. In Yiddish, ibigarash. No, where does it say lighting candles? All right, kibbutz v'onik Shabbat. Where does it say two candles? Where does it say lighting the way we do? I don't want to be a wise guy. But I mentioned Reb Heschel Shecht. I once sat with him at a convention, and he felt the lighting of candles. It's a bracha lematala. You have to light the electricity. The whole concept is kibbutz v'onik. You have to have hanah. Others have said it. No, the world will not accept that. Lighting Shabbos candles has become so ingrained. I would say it's as important as Kiddush, Leil Shabbat. And Kiddush certainly is a D'oraita. Zechad Yom HaShabbos L'Kachal. All right, for a man who already davened, it could be it's no longer a D'oraita. For a woman, it certainly is. But you understand what I'm driving at? I'm trying to show you the inner workings, the inner heart, the inner soul. These are mitzvot. You can't just drop out. Go and paskin. No longer women light two candles. What you do before Shabbos is turn on all the electricity and then make a bracha. What woman will accept that? I don't want to tell you the counter reaction against what the Rav Heschel said. And the women were right. It's Minhag Yisrael. All right, other minhagim developed. I'll add on a word here that's very, very important for mature individuals. I learned from my students. Mitalmidai yoter mikulam. The Gemara in Tainet Daf Zayin. I learned from my students. I always was opposed to the minhag of lighting candles for each child. Nu, Hamidi, what do your parents do? Tell me. Abi, what does your mother do? Danny, what does your mother do? What, Josh, what does your mother do?
One for each kid.
One for each
right.
kid.
That's what you did.
But that's what you did. Why was I opposed? Geely, why do you think I was opposed? Geely, you never know in life what's going to happen. The worst thing is a mother should cry every Friday night. We cry enough in life. We're Jews. I'm a bad example. I cry a lot. Can't help it. I see a good Jew, it overwhelms me. I'm overwhelmed. When I see sin, it hurts me. I want to tell you, I learned from my students. I was in Australia. And there are many couples in the world where it's a student married to a student. I taught women for 31 years. I taught over 7,000 women on a collegiate level. I stopped teaching on a collegiate level to concentrate on this book. Whether it's worth it or not, you be the judge. So this is a couple, both my students. He was my student in BMT, and she was my student in Machon Gold. And they had a terrible tragedy. A daughter died of cancer. Young girl. Shem Yirachim. So I said to the mother, why do you light all the candles? And I told her my opinion. I have a big mouth, so I told her my opinion. And she said to me, Rebbe, you're right and you're wrong. Because when I light the candle, I feel that she's still with us. Her soul is with me for Shabbat. It taught me something. I learned something. They told me, Dai Yotem Mikulam. Baruch Hashem. I learned. And he takes the viewpoint here. Hare Hishva is talking about the Rambam at Hamin Hagotli Kore Gufei Torah. V'klalovim v'klal ikka Torah Shebalkeh. K'mo Shalom Hashem v'perek Aleph. He's talking about Hilchot Mamre. Perek Aleph Halach Aleph Al Yisod Beitin Hagadol Shechein Ikka Torah Shebalkeh. It's the most important Rambam. Perek Aleph. I can still hear the rub in my ears. Quoting that Rambam. It's the source of what we believe, of Torah, of Lo Tasur, of all our tradition, of why we live the way we do. Excuse me, why we're religious Jews, where we're different than in reformers and innovators. And he says, how can we change? How can we change the Havara? Ad Asher, and here he ends off so beautifully, Ad Asher Ya'are Aleinu Ruach Mimarom Bavo Goel Tzedek V'Shavu Shavteinu K'Rishona V'Yotzeinu K'Tchila K'Bachatchila V'Yoz Neida Eze Derech Yishkona L'Hashiv L'Chol Am Hashem Chuka Achat V'Lo Shinu Yupilu Deyotu Min Hagim V'yetz Yehuda, v'yetz Ephraim Yeyeli, v'yetz Echad, b'mchera b'yameinu amein. And again he adds, I mean, that's so magnificent, his Hebrew. You know who writes Hebrew like that? Rabbi Avadya Yosef writes like that too. It's just when you read it, it's overwhelming. But again he adds on. He realizes, you see, he's on quicksand. V'kvar katavti b'tshuva sham shedivrei chachamim tzrichim liyot b'nachat nishmoyim v'chalila lasot b'zemach loket v'yeich sheyiya omeik hadin b'ze halo gadol hashalom. And boy, is that fabulous advice for a young rabbi. Unfortunately, when I went into the rabbinate, we did not have the good rabbeim like you have. We did not have special courses about all the yeshiva taught us was how to preach. That was about the only non-pure yeshiva course we had. We had Rabbi Goldstein, Rabbi Lukstein, we learned how to preach, there I'll have to give credit. The guts to get up and give a sermon in front of Rabbi Herbert S. Goldstein, and I still see him cheering me on, cheering me on. But outside of that, no one ever quoted Rav Kook like this to us. And boy, is that advice beautiful. That even if you're convinced you're absolutely right, the Omer Kadin is like you, no one should be able to budge you. This is Devar Hashem Zu Halacha. Nevertheless, Gadol HaShalom. You can't force it down the congregation's throat. And in the state of Israel, as Rabbi Uziel quoted the Yerushalmi in Bav Metzia, Minhag Koveya Halacha, or Minhag Mubatel Halacha, you'll see the various Girsa'at, and Nusach Sfad, one out, a whole generation. Even if we make the effort, and Yitzchak says he davens Ashkenazis, that the Kadosh Baruch Hu should understand him, but that becomes unimportant today, because his children daven in Sfardit, and your grandchildren daven in Sfardit. Now, with all due respects to Aaron Rakefin and Yitzchak Rubin, it's infinitely more important what our children and grandchildren daven in. So you see, with Rav Kook and Rav Uziel and the whole machloket, ultimately, Rav Uziel won out, certainly in the religious Zionist world. And even in the yeshivish world, you got to give Rav Shach credit. He switched from Yiddish to Hebrew, welcomed Sephardic youngsters into Panovich, and today you have endless Sephardic kids who know how to learn Davin Nusach Sephardi. To a certain degree, there's interethnic marriage, certainly in the religious Zionist world, less in the so-called Haredi world. I'm using popular terms, not pejorative terms. I'm using descriptive terms. But little by little, you can't force history. But little by little, the Eitz Yosef and the Eitz Yehuda are being combined into one beautiful, magnificent tree. And never forget the high point of the lecture. As much as Rakef is upset at those children who make all that noise on Purim, that is the secret of our survival. And let me say publicly, kol hakavod to Bibi Netanyahu, to his wife Sarah, who I understand gets all the credit, and to his advisors, the overwhelming majority wearing kippot, they are good, wonderful Jews. The batel, the lehivei ka'afidiyara. And I have to say, there's a whole reaction today. Who would ever believe that Chaim Sabag, if I would come out against the President of the United States, he gave so much money to leftist causes. Sheldon Adelson, his words, unbelievable. Some famous singer who was born in Israel and hasn't visited, recently made his first visit. Wow, did he speak out. With curse words, of course. He's a popular American singer. Can't be popular speaking without some luscious curse words, but wow, what a message. My dear students, to reiterate, kol dem kol and modeh l'Kadosh Baruch Hu on the schut that I had to make a shechiyanu. I hope the binding is good, that's what I worry about. It's a big book. The pictures came out beautifully. And I have aggravation that with the Rav, Ketav did not give the proper paper, and Rabbi Albert went through the Olam HaEmet so upset that the pictures of the Rav, his magnificent pictures, were not proper. I have to tell you, the book is very large. It reads 498 pages, but there are 32 pages here which do not have pagination. The pages of the pictures. And I consider the pictures more important than anything. I hope you'll agree with me, but we'll leave that to your discretion. They did seems a beautiful job. Let me just reiterate quickly, and I have a few freebies for Yitzchak at least. Yitzchak, this is
what you wrote about me after almost 12 years of bothering you in the class.
No. It's not about you in the class. It's about you in history, the great moments of your life. I don't write anything about individuals. It's caught up in the narrative of what I'm describing. You'll see there's a tremendous monument to David Applebaum, Hashem Yikom Damo, without mentioning one word out of the narrative about David. So what we did today is very important. It was an important shiur. We spent it on Rav Kook. We analyzed the currents, the undercurrents. But above all, Rav Kook was a big machmir, and you cannot throw away a minhag easily. And we're setting the stage. I have to do Rav Herzog next, and then we're going to come into inter-ethnic marriages, and you'll see it is a most fascinating topic. Tomorrow, I cannot tell you how important tomorrow's share. If you have any interest in the students, I owe this all to my students. Believe me, no one ever asked these questions when I was growing up. But Zionism? Why are we Zionists? Who is Herzl? How could God bring this about through Herzl? Agudat Yisrael, Das Torah. How do we relate to all this? How does a Ben Torah speak? How does a Jew who wants to know all of Shas and all of Paiskim? How do you relate to it? We're building up. Tomorrow is crucially important. I'm doing the transition from classic Ahavat Eretz Yisrael to tangible Zionism, and what brought the change about, and who brought the change about, and what we don't do tomorrow, there's Rat Hashem, we do next year.
See, because the Haredi world, they'll wax poetic about Kedusha Eretz Yisrael, but when it comes to the Medina,
say that. We will deal with it. My dear students, as you know, in two states now, it's on the ballot, or two cities, in San Francisco, I think, and now, what's right outside of San Diego, right outside of Los Angeles, they want to outlaw Brit Mila. My student, Jack Levenstein, who recorded 15 years of the class, sent me an unbelievable article that appeared in the Wall Street Journal. A book just came out I don't even believe it's a Jewish woman, how the fact that her husband was circumcised saved her life. And it's worth reading with all these naysayers. It's unbelievable. Those of you that didn't get up to Meiron on Lag BaOmer, here are the publications from Meiron. If you're a Kohen, it gives you the path you can go on that you won't go on any graves. It's very fascinating what they've worked out. If you're in Yerushalmi and you know about Bote Vasha, they want to sell it, knock it down, rebuild it. They're fighting a bitter battle to keep it. It's a very interesting pamphlet with beautiful pictures. Those of you, Mendel, you're teaching in Israel, Midei Chodesh B'Chadsho, the editor is my student from BMT. You should get a subscription to it. It's very important. Tomorrow, 9:05 a.m., I must end on time and run like a frightened deer because I fly tomorrow. Until we meet again, in health and happiness, Das Vedanya. Thank you.